In the harsh, unforgiving hill country of Texas, a lanky boy with oversized ears once boldly declared to his classmates, "Someday, I'm gonna be president." This wasn't just childhood fantasy, it was Lyndon Johnson's first campaign promise. The hill country shaped Johnson profoundly, teaching brutal lessons about power and survival. Early settlers had been lured by the region's deceptive beauty, not realizing they'd crossed the critical 30-inch rainfall line necessary for sustainable farming. Johnson's grandfather wisely settled east of this treacherous boundary, combining idealism with business acumen to build prosperity. His father, Sam, however, pushed deeper into the hill country, buying land on credit and watching his dreams collapse alongside his finances. By 1922, Sam Johnson had lost everything, including his dignity, becoming the subject of ridicule in the town bearing his family name. Young Lyndon absorbed these harsh lessons. As his family's fortunes collapsed, he became defiant and manipulative. He displayed an uncanny ability to charm adults, particularly women, while alienating peers with his domineering personality and casual relationship with truth. After initially refusing college, Johnson finally enrolled at Southwest Texas State Teachers College, where his political genius emerged. He quickly maneuvered from the lowly Rock Squad into the college president's office as a personal assistant, displaying the talent for flattery and strategic thinking that would define his career. What made Johnson extraordinary wasn't just ambition, it was his intuitive understanding of power's mechanics. While other politicians sought the spotlight, Johnson mastered the shadows, learning how systems actually functioned and who truly controlled the levers of influence. As secretary to Congressman Richard Clayburgh in 1931, Johnson effectively ran the 14th District's business while his wealthy boss, more interested in leisure than governance, stayed away. Working relentlessly from dawn until midnight, Johnson charmed his way through Washington's bureaucracy, developing vital connections throughout government offices while pursuing constituent matters with fierce determination. The Great Depression and Roosevelt's New Deal provided Johnson's first major opportunity. While Clayburgh opposed programs like the Agricultural Adjustment Act, Johnson worked the system, building relationships at every level. His innovative solution for South Texas farmers facing foreclosure, convincing mortgage companies to accept future crop payments, saved 67 farms. Johnson's political acumen showed in his takeover of the Little Congress, an organization for congressional secretaries. Through careful planning and mobilization of support staff, he won the speakership and transformed this social club into a politically significant organization that advanced his ambitions. This apprenticeship demonstrated Johnson's exceptional work ethic and talent for relationship building, along with his crucial insight that administrative officials, not just elected ones, held real power in Washington. In 1934, Johnson began courting Claudia Alta "Ladybird" Taylor, daughter of wealthy East Texas businessman Thomas Jefferson Taylor. Ladybird, who lost her mother at age 5, was academically brilliant but socially reserved. Despite her father's wealth, she dressed modestly and described herself as coming from a lonesome place. Johnson proposed on their first date, pursuing her intensely with persistent letters. Though initially uncertain about his thin frame, she was drawn to his charisma in what she called a moth-and-flame attraction. They married in November 1934 after a brief courtship. Johnson dominated their relationship from the start, and Ladybird adapted to his demanding nature. Though she had never done household chores, she quickly learned to manage their home with grace, accepting his declaration that he didn't intend to do any errands or any housework. Her gracious hospitality proved invaluable, particularly in cultivating a crucial relationship with Sam Rayburn, one of Congress's most powerful figures. Rayburn's regular Sunday breakfast visits to their modest apartment became a Washington institution, providing Johnson essential access to congressional leadership. Johnson's most transformative achievement was bringing electricity to his native hill country. While urban America had long enjoyed electrical power, rural areas remained in the dark. Farmers struggled with manual labor by kerosene light, lacking basic amenities like refrigeration and running water. Farm wives spent countless hours hauling water from distant wells, leaving many permanently round-shouldered from the strain. Weekly wash days were grueling ordeals involving zinc wash tubs, washboards, and homemade soap. Ironing meant maintaining scorching fires even in summer heat, using heavy irons that needed constant reheating. By 1935, over 6 million American farms still lacked electricity. Utility companies refused to extend power lines, citing the prohibitive cost of $5,000 per mile. When the Rural Electrification Administration, REA, was created, the Hill Country initially failed to qualify due to population requirements. Johnson intervened decisively, promising local rancher E. Babe Smith he would secure electricity for the region. After appealing directly to President Roosevelt through Tommy Corcoran, Johnson succeeded. In 1938, the Pedernales Electric Cooperative received an REA loan of $1.8 million to construct 1,830 miles of electric lines, serving nearly 3,000 Hill Country families. When Morris Shepherd, Texas's senior senator, died in April 1941, Johnson launched his campaign for the vacant seat. Despite only 5% of voters knowing him outside his congressional district, compared to Governor O'Daniel's 33%, Johnson strategically aligned himself with Roosevelt, even announcing his candidacy from the White House steps. Backed by unprecedented funding from New Deal supporters, labor unions, and Wall Street, Johnson assembled an elite campaign team. He influenced media coverage through strategic newspaper ad placements and hired top talent, including PR expert Phil Fox. The race dramatically shifted when W. Leo Daniel entered. A former flower salesman and radio personality known as Pappy, O'Daniel had only recently entered politics as governor. The news devastated Johnson, who retreated for 2 weeks with nervous exhaustion. He emerged transformed, thinner and humbler, but fought back aggressively, even threatening to withhold federal grants from unsupportive communities. On Election Day, Johnson initially led by a substantial margin. His crucial mistake was instructing South Texas bosses to report their votes early, revealing to O'Daniel exactly how many votes were needed to win. As late returns arrived, Johnson's 13,000-vote lead disappeared through suspicious voting patterns. O'Daniel ultimately claimed a narrow victory, partly because his opponents wanted him out of the governor's office rather than truly supporting his Senate bid. Johnson's Senate defeat was merely a temporary setback. The foundations he had built, his Roosevelt connection, mastery of New Deal programs, loyal supporters, and Texas oil money backing would ultimately propel him to unprecedented power. The young man who had declared presidential ambitions had laid the groundwork for a transformative political career. His rise paralleled America's modernization, showcasing the expansion of presidential power and the complex relationship between ambition and public service. His story embodied the American journey, driven by a hunger for power so fierce and consuming that no consideration of morality or ethics, no cost to himself or to anyone else, could stand before it. Johnson's compelling narrative stemmed from personal contradictions that mirrored America's own. He was idealistic yet corrupt, compassionate yet cruel, visionary yet short-sighted. His journey from the Hill Country to the White House illuminated the machinery of American power, its workings, controllers, and ultimate costs.